Welcome back.
Hello. You know what?
The Easter holidays are all done, but it is a short week. And what better way to celebrate a short week than looking back a little and seeing that Chemist Warehouse has saved over $53 million on prescriptions for Kiwis since 2017.
We salute you,
and thank you for supporting The Morning Shift.
Let's push.
Chemist Warehouse.
Because where else?
With Chemist Warehouse.
Let's push.
Give it some.
Let's go. Never fold.
10 toes down, baby.
You know who it is.
I'm trying to be like you, mama.
Shush. It's too late to turn back now.
The Morning Shift. Powered by Uno Media.
Good evening and everything in between. It's a big trust Tuesday and we're here for our morning shifters. From our misters,
Manaway,
to our sisters,
Manaway.
We're back for another show just in case you missed it.
David Dishes
and our sister waves.
Nah, that was dry, sorry. That's alright, stay blessed.
So stressed.
We've got you covered like a sundress. Welcome to officially the number one show. If you call down under your home, welcome to new media, the people's media.
Let's push.
Say no more, take your shoes off at the door. Everything you want, nothing you don't. Real people, real talk.
And if we ain't number one on the charts, hopefully we're number one in your heart.
Let's get it.
Let's get it, baby.
Hey, short weekend, short week.
Been. Man. How good's the long weekend?
Oh, how good.
It's the best. Hey, what is on the show today? Jordan, you're bringing it back home today.
Oh, I'm bringing it back home. We're doing, Kiwi traits. Kiwi traits, guys.
Oh, yeah.
For our international audience, we'll break that down a little bit, but it's kind of things that we do down here.
We're going to go to the Shifters Facebook page. There's some advice that some shifters are after, so I'll bring that to the forefront a little bit later on in the show. Mark, what's going on with some sports, mate?
Oh, what's that? Who's that at the door? Oh, the Crusaders are back.
I thought you were going to say boxing.
No, Crusaders.
Hey, good on them,
man.
Are they back, though?
Are they back?
A little bit annoyed at the Chiefs for not putting out their full side. You know what I mean? Do they think they can just play around and just do that?
Yeah,
Might come back to bite them.
Sorry, we took this whole thing. Sorry, Mark.
We can talk about this whole thing.
And also, we wrap up the show. Sorry, he's going to be in the show at some point, but Liam Lawson. Liam Lawson
is
an incredible New Zealand athlete at the tender age of 22 on the world stage in F1. Formula One. He hangs out with Max Verstappen.
Shifters, put it the same. We got him. He's cracked it, but we got in just before he cracked it. So he's going to be major. And then we're going to be like, bro, you're the bro. You're a shifter.
Bro, but he was cool. He's got tunnel vision, and I see why he is so successful. And he is going to be an amazing world-class athlete.
Correct.
He's incredible. But we always start the show with an absolute boy. And I have those honors today, and a little bit different. And this might sound a little bit tinny, but this dropped back in 1993, so...
Can't blame him for that.
You just got really normal. Train, my family. It's been a long weekend. We had to go back to church, my family.
When Jesus was.
Let's get a family.
Let's pull. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Break it.
Double tap.
go, double family.
Double tap. That was amazing.
That is your vibe for today.
Woo.
She's a big trust Tuesday. Ooh, I'm a little bit sweaty after that one.
No, that was great.
How you been, guys? Great. OG, what's up, man?
Yeah, hey, good. What a weekend. Had great fun at the Warriors. It's always good when the Warriors play at home.
Up the Warriors.
And get up as well. You know what? We had a very special Thursday before we left. The team from Two Times You, who are our new sponsors when it comes to our sports wrap, they dropped us off a whole heap of compression wear because, of course, they are the official compression wear of the New Zealand Warriors.
I know you guys don't want to be happy for us, but we've got a lot of stuff. And
so now we are walking around, well, I know I am, walking around feeling like real athletes. And I must say, I did see a couple of the New South Wales Cup boys for the Warriors wearing their Two Times You's with their socks down, and you could see their calf sleeves and the Two Times You on them. I was like, oh yeah, I got some of that.
I want a little bit of me. Those bags, bro. The bag they gave us.
Ooh.
Is that the best bag I've ever had in my whole life?
Oh, I gave the bag away.
You what?
I gave it to the boys in the office. They were there when we got it. So you know me, I'm trying to pay it forward.
You don't pay it forward.
Oh, you shouldn't have paid that one forward.
Damn. Yeah,
that should have paid that one
bag.
Forward.
Well, I guess who's gonna go ask for
you got
back.
A good heart. You got heaven.
Anyways, long story short, I've decided I'm feeling athletic. I get up Easter Sunday. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go for a run. Get rid of some of those hot cross buns, some of those Easter eggs, and do a little run. Yeah.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
And I had my Two Times You like full leg tights on, right? So like a full set of tights, compression wear. And I had a t-shirt over the top and I was trying to find my running shorts. And I was like, ah, that's right. They're down in the washing that's been folded down in the lounge. So
I'm glad you knew to put something over there.
Yeah. It was a t-shirt that was hanging, you know, just. Okay. Just
that's the, real athlete yeah. swag.
That's right.
That's like, athlete swag.
Proper runners, they wear just them and shoes. I'm not a proper runner.
Not all athletes.
Some can.
Yeah, some can.
Yeah.
Some can't.
Some shouldn't.
So I briskly walk past my daughter's bedroom and she just happens to be awake and she yells out, don't be walking past my room looking like Gru from Despicable Me.
Chill, dog.
That was why you gotta tell her to stop yelling.
Burning the house.
You didn't burn the house down with that. Walking around here like you're 6'7".
See me, Greg. You should have seen them Easter eggs get picked up real quick.
So is she grounded or?
Grounded her for 6 weeks. Nah. But no, the tights, you know, they do make you feel athletic. May not make me look athletic yet, but I'm going to get there.
Love that.
And you went for a run, bro. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I don't have so much of a chicken, but I would like you guys all to know that I experienced this over the weekend. Parents, you'll feel this too. It's been a long time. My son went back to the motherland, so I haven't had sun all weekend. On Friday, when I tell you I had nothing to do and I didn't know what to do, on my plate, on my agenda at one point was, do I watch a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do I watch a show?
Mm.
Do I grab me some Uber Eats?
Ooh.
Do I sit on my phone?
Self-love?
I had...
No, like, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. This is self-love show.
I mean, there's an angle you can take for it. But parents, once a year, I hope that you get to experience that because it was the most relaxed. I love my son. I sound like I don't. I do. But I had the most relaxing day, my peoples, and it was just heaven on earth.
Do you remember back now, like before sun? Hey, would that rip you straight back to, oh, this is what life used to be like when I didn't think of anyone else?
Bro, and I've been FaceTiming him. He don't want to FaceTime me. I'm like, bro, the energy you're giving me right now, I'm a one man.
I want to feel needed.
Come on, man. He's going to come with a bit of energy now.
That is hard. I had kind of a boring weekend. I don't know if I feel more refreshed or I feel more tired, but it was great to have a long weekend. And I do have, like, not that anyone asked, no one asked, but I do have, like, 16 days left on 75 hard.
Ooh.
Oh, and actually, sorry, quickly, the Shredded Kitchen, they supply meals. Sorry, a preface to this was a friend goes, hey, the Shredded Kitchen would be keen to help you out. I've got to do a little story for them on my socials, but I said, if it's nice, I'll do it. But if they're not nice, I'm not going to talk about it. Bro, they are so nice.
I see you doubling now. They must be nice.
I've done a lot of like prepackaged meals and a lot of them feel like, not throwing shade, but like they made them like a month ago, put them in the freezer, then they sent them to you. But these ones, they feel super fresh, so grateful for that. And also I played golf at Omaha. Don't talk local lingo for the course. Omaha.
What'd you hit?
Beautiful course. Oh my days.
What'd you hit?
Don't be rude. Mind your business. Let's get into the Daily Brief. 96. That's right, guys. Daily Bread, breaking bread with the news of today.
It is today, April 2nd, 93 days deep into the year, 273 left to get her done.
Get her done.
Welcome back to work, folks. It's only a short week, though, so we can all make it. Children's Picture Book Day today. children's picture book day.
Bro, do you remember the Critters?
Ah.
They were the best children's books.
Critters?
The Critters. Ah, never mind. Sorry, Mark, but they were my favorite kids' books growing up.
I remember the back in the day they had like the golden books or something where they had the. Oh, this is real world. I wonder if anyone remembers them.
Back in your day, the books would have been black and white too.
It's also International Fact Checking Day. So I promise you from here onward on the show, everything we say for today's show at least
this
will
is
be
my most
nothing
hated
but
day.
Fact checked.
Ugh, I love facts, eh? But it's so old media to do a fact today.
Oh,
I
we'll
mean,
be
I
doing
love...
international
oh,
fact checking.
Okay. Live on the edge, right. baby. Live on the edge.
No one's getting anything wrong. And happy anniversary to everyone in Southland. It is Southland Anniversary Day today. Oh, yes, Southlanders.
Southlanders.
The best part of our country.
They do have great oysters.
That's a good part. It's such a good part.
With all due love and respect, we used to play basketball down there all the time, and the best thing was Pack and Save.
Southland Sharks. Nothing like the Pack and Save. The Southland Stags. They're a good rugby team.
And they're good people down there too. They're good people. That's what they are.
Over the weekend, Beyonce dropped an album, Cowboy Carter.
Oh, go off.
Oh, what? Nothing?
Trash, bro.
Oh,
trash, Mark.
Wow. Really?
I just had to take a deep breath to say that. I don't know if I like one song.
Really?
But it's not about me.
Was there a country one on there?
Yeah, they're all kind of country, but...
Well, you talk about it, Brooke, actually. You listened to it too. We debriefed before the show.
Skip the thing. Skip. Miley held her own, though. Miley Cyrus did good. Miley, she was probably the best part of the album, but I don't know.
That's not okay. No, you're not allowed to say that.
I don't know if I got down with one. Texas Hold'em is the best song on there, without a doubt.
In other music news, though, AI is going to take over, guys. AI is taking over. I saw this, and I actually got Hendo to record this in, but T-Pain briefed AI to make a track for him, and then he played it back on a stream. Check it out. Listen. I think it's fire.
Drinking tequila on my Twitch stream with idiots.
That's what he briefed AI to write about.
Here we go. Let me tell you about the Twitch stream.
That's not T-Pain?
That's not T-Pain. It's AI.
Oh, right. Let's give it up.
Drinking
give up.
Tequila hanging with my friends.
Hey, give up on music.
Don't hold up, hold on, wait.
I got 1,000 people watching me.
That's better than anything on Beyonce's album.
Okay. I'm not going that far. She should have gone Taylor. She messed up, but that's good.
Now, a lot of you saw our T-Pain versus Akon video a month ago. Thank you for the love on that. And there is developing news about that. There is developing news. We can't confirm just yet. Or maybe we can. But there's a chance.
We're going Milwaukee, baby!
Your boys are going to Wisconsin Fest.
I did say it's International Fact Checking Day, and there is no fact in that yet. So.
But there's a little bit of facts. They sent an email.
There's an FAC. There's a fact in there.
Can't wait to go. I can't wait to go to Wisconsin, bro.
My daily bread for today, very New Zealand centric, but sorry, we got New Zealand listeners. I love you guys. There's four proposals. Oh, jeez, Mark, are you talking about this in sports rap? Should I ask you?
No, go
about
for
the
it.
Stadiums? Okay. There's four proposals for new national stadiums here in Auckland. One of them is a 50,000 seater, one of them is a 70,000 seater, one of them is an update on the current Eden Park one, and there's another chance that there's a 55,000 seat stadium at Wynyard Quarter to wrap it up.
Dumb.
So Key Park, Bledisloe Wharf and Wynyard Point are the places that it could potentially be, and the final one is an upgrade on Eden Park. What do you think is dumb? I think that's great.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. Are we struggling to fill the stadiums we currently have for things?
Yes.
Is that just me or
no,
am I
right.
living under a rock?
No, you're 100%
the rock's
correct.
Heavy. Actually, it's crushing me. Get it. I want to get
we
the rock off me.
We are struggling. And from memory, Eden Park is the only park that doesn't come under the Auckland Council's jurisdiction because it's owned by its own. It's owned by
locals
a trust.
That are dicks.
Yeah, well, that's it.
It's
owned by a trust, whether you like the locals or not. So they don't actually.
Didn't you go to like a locals meeting from Eden Park for like the concerts and like we almost didn't get all those concerts or something?
Was that your story?
Did you protest, Mark?
No, I didn't protest. I was at the actual hearing and I spoke in favour of getting concerts to Eden Park.
No, he told those old people like, hey, guys, relax.
Shove it where the sign shines.
I'm your neighbour too. Let, let,
let the country have a good time.
You know what was really strange? Was there was one guy there who was actually, who broke down in tears. Like, you don't know what it's like to have a three-year-old trying to put them to bed and there's a concert and people. And I was just like.
That's four times a year, brother.
I know. I remember it so vividly because everyone else was going there and saying like this real positive stuff about why we should have it. And I looked back at the guy who burst into tears. I was like, is this guy kidding?
Oh my God.
I said, is this guy kidding? We've all had problems getting a three-year-old to sleep, whether there's a concert outside or not. Bro, what are you talking about?
It's actually your three-year-old's fault.
It's bad parenting. That's on you.
I used to live right next door. I don't know if Jordan, you ever came I used to live right next door to Eden Park. And this might be with stadiums around the world. I don't know, but... there's a thing where people who are close enough to the stadium, and I think you don't even have to show identification, that they'll hold tickets for you.
Yes.
And you can go and get tickets for free if you prove that you live close enough to the stadium.
I know.
And people don't know about that.
Back in the day, that was the case. But I also know that there's a real strong kind of membership there, and people do get very uptight about it. What I was going to say was all the other council parks, the Go Media Stadiums, the Western Springs, all those stadiums, the council bids for concerts and goes up against Eden Park because they're their own entity. So it's like a competition. So I don't know how
they need another one.
They will now put another one in there when they've still got Western Springs, still got Go Media Stadium.
Well, they just started selling out Go Media too.
And what's the one out west?
Trust.
You know, they've all got many of these stadiums already. How are they going to keep filling them out and they try and build a new one? That's my question.
Well, time will tell, man.
Time will tell. That is your Daily Bread, guys. Breaking bread with the news of today.
This is the morning shift.
Yes! That's the penalty, and that's the game. All Blacks into the semi-finals.
Hey, we're not done, dog. I want three. I want back-to-back.
Flex those biceps, Sean Johnson.
That is enormous.
He says, Sydney, you want to see the anti-hero? Here I am.
Wild celebration for a goal from his wildest dreams.
The Weekend Sports Wrap, brought to you by Two Times You. Train harder, recover faster.
Ball's going to be booted into touch by Willie Hines. And the Crusaders have finally done it. And it really has been a good Friday.
Yeah, it's your long Easter weekend sports wrap, thanks to Two Times You, the official compression wear of the One New Zealand Warriors. And if Roger Tuivasa-Sheck can whack two knights on his left, then bump off a third wearing Two Times You,
come on,
then why can't we?
Did he? I'm going to bump someone off.
He's still trying to find him.
And let's start with that Good Friday Super Rugby result, the Crusaders and their 37-26 victory over the Chiefs. People had been reluctant to write off the 900-time Super Rugby champions after dropping their first five games. But as the saying goes, the Crusaders have never lost six games in a row to start a season. And they got up. So, gentlemen, are they back, or are they just back?
They're not back, but it's good for rugby, eh? It's good for rugby.
I thought it was better the longer they lost.
I had a little birdie told me that you actually picked the Crusaders to win that game in a multi.
That is not true. That is not correct. But I got up on a multi on the weekend.
Oh, you did? And yes. That wasn't a part of it?
I got up.
Up. Oh!
Are we allowed to share
a multi?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Up. Yeah, no, I went Blues.
Moana.
Blues to beat the Chiefs girls. They did that. Brumbies to beat Reds. Blues to beat Moana and Fiji to beat Force. I thought it was easy wins, and it was.
And they were.
It's great.
Well, the Blues Chiefs game in Super Rugby All Picky, that would have been the one.
Yeah, they were playing $3.50. Yeah. I was like, nah, they're going to win. And actually, there's the first time those girls actually... Sorry, you'll probably talk about this.
No, you waste.
Oh, sorry. The first time those Blues girls actually have been the Chiefs in the last, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Oh, man.
Great.
Look at you.
That's the final, sir.
Yeah, probably.
We're on.
There's 2 weeks left in that competition, I believe, and then it'll be the finals. They only have one final. Unbelievable. And other weekend Super Rugby matchups. Top of the table, Hurricanes won big over the Highlanders, 47-12, but loss Cam Røygaard in the process.
Yeah, what happened? How long's he out?
It looks like a serious knee injury, and he's going in for scans today here in Auckland.
Oh. Yeah, it's not looking good, though.
The rest of the season.
It looked like a dislocated knee.
Oh, yeah, the kneecap sat differently, eh?
Yeah, and he came off in the stretch.
I didn't care about Canes, but I just go, for my All Blacks. You know what I mean?
As a country, we lost on that bad boy, too. But yeah, it just looked awkward.
We wish you all the best, Cam. You're having an awesome season. TJ Pettinara slotting in as handy replacement.
Scored his 60th too.
Got on and scored.
Last pool. Shout out to TJ. It's incredible. Shout out to the Canes.
TJ the man. He the man.
And we can't go past the Blues. Of course, Jordan's Blues. They went up large against Moana Pacifica. 47 points to 8 to
round
out
the Kiwi teams. I'm glad we did what we were supposed to do.
The Mark Talia hat-trick.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think anyone loves thrashing Moana. It's not really something to celebrate.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Good crowd. A really good crowd.
They did a great job because it was $10 tickets. $10 for adults, $5 for kids.
Incredible. How did you know about that?
It was on socials. I saw it.
Because he's friends with the captain.
No, it was a Moana game.
No, because somebody else told me that, and I was like, "What? How would I have not known that? Because I would have gone to that game had I known that."
I saw it on socials. I just popped up on socials. Moana posted it.
That's probably on me then. My fault. To the NRL, and gentlemen. Well, it was a wonderful Sunday afternoon for the Warriors.
Warriors making a strong start to the second half. Now Harris Tevita with the kick. Oh, Montoya, what a take! Oh. What a try for Marcelo Montoya! That is stunning!
Stunning indeed. Two wins in a row in front of a bumper crowd at Go Media Stadium for the one New Zealand Warriors. Amazing what a great defense can do. Paired up with a great compression partner in Two Times You. No, seriously.
Love you, Two Times You.
But seriously, fams, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 29 carries, 283 metres, 103 of those were post-contact, all playing from the back, starting at fullback, played stellar defence as well.
Incredible.
Just everywhere and anywhere. Probably the most solid game he's played since he's been back. And obviously chat starts to begin about whether or not Roger should be playing centre or whether he, chances back this week. Chances back.
They're not chats that exist in this room.
Yeah, ice that chat. We're living in recency biases. I love Roger. I think Roger got the better hand of Kalen Ponga, which is incredible to say when it's your third or fourth game back. And we know how great Kalen Ponga is. But the Warriors are better with Chance out there. We know what he did last year. And Roger on the left or in the centres, wherever he is. The flow of the Warriors... how it's going to work. I know how great Roger was, but get Chance back in there, and we're going to be humming.
I don't mean to take this in another direction, but watching that game just made me frustrated for the way they treated him at the Blues. just someone that world-class, that amazing and talented, and him. But coming back to the Warriors, Mark, you were at the game. So for those who don't know listening, the Warriors, for our international audience, the Warriors are like... are they like the Cowboys for us? How do you relate it to America's team? They're our team. You know what I mean? So it's a big deal. And Matua Mark does the field announcing at the game, so he gets everyone hyped. So he gets a real sense of the energy. I'm watching on TV, and we've talked about it before, but the tribalism. Oh my days! What was the energy like there, Matua Mark, on field?
It's really amazing, and I think it's really hard to be able to describe. But there's a real wholesome, humble crowd that turns up to the Warriors games. They are there, and most of the day oneers are there through thick and thin. So when they're winning,
they're giving a bit of stick to the new ones, though.
Totally, yeah. You got to earn your stripes.
Your Warriors jersey looks new. Did you just buy it?
I think the Warriors, as an organization, do a really good job, though. They've invested heavily in social media, so it gives everyone's got a really good story to tell before they even turn up to the ground. And then the amount of investment they do around the grounds is great as well. They had, I think it was the Shapes family area where they could have fun with the kids upstairs with those massive inflatable castles and all that kind of stuff. Man. It's real game day activation. And then you get down to the players. Again, a really awesome bunch of players, lovely dudes. And then the crowd is just unbelievable. I think any franchise around the world would be proud to have the fan base that the Warriors have. And, man, when they put out wins like they did on Sunday in front of that bumper crowd, you just can't be at a better place at all on a Sunday.
It's so loud. That's why I just can never get over. I went to the game yesterday as well, and it's so loud. Any break you have, any tackle they have, any hit up, that's incredible. The crowd is there.
When Roger whacked those two dudes and then bumped off the third, I have never heard Go Media Stadium so amped.
And everyone has a role. I actually think, how many players play? Is it 17? The 17 they're allowed?
to play for league?
Yeah, JS seems to jump on in like the 19th jersey or 20th.
Whatever it is. But the crowd is a whole nother person for the Warriors. It's another set of legs. It's another set of arms. They are incredible, and they're just waiting every time for something to happen, which is great.
Jordan, you just said something phenomenal there. You just said, we need Jazz. Jazz is at the end of his contract this year. How important do you reckon Jazz Tabunga is to the Warriors to sign him? Like, I think he gets lost in any other squad.
He's a heartbeat.
I think he's the absolute heartbeat of that squad. And they'd be, like, they've got to sign that guy.
Yeah. Dylan Walker. Get them both back.
It'll be offensive to see Jazz in any other jersey. But, you know, whatever he wants to do, but he's the man.
Another couple of big results saw the Panthers ground the high-flying Roosters 22-16, and the Dragons got up. The Dragons got up over Manly. Yeah.
They look good too. I watched that game because it was a mother multi. Dragons were up for it, man.
Yeah. All right. Warriors sitting just outside the eight now. So
I watched the Panthers game too quickly. They're probably going in fourth in a row, eh?
Yeah.
Scary hours.
Bro, the Roosters were looking real good before they played them as well.
Brisbane looks great too. No, we're doing it. Warriors up the last.
And finally, I'm not going to try and put my flag in this because I don't have any horse in the race there, but a sneaky look at the Premier League as title rivals Manchester City and Arsenal played out a nil-all draw at Etihad in a match high on tension but short of clear-cut chances, which left Liverpool 2 points clear at the top of the Premier League with only 9 matches to go.
I saw a podcast and a guy was saying that if Pep actually just said all we're going to do is like win the Premier League, it'd be a wrap. But considering like teams are in Champions League, they're going for the treble, your squad's, you know, spread thin a bit to do the other competitions that they want to win, it gives, you know, lowlifes like Liverpool a chance to win the league.
That was a jab at Neeks, who was just throwing his hands in the air. And finally, that's it. That's it for me because, you know, I found it really hard to try and decipher as being yesterday being April 1st.
What's true
or not because of the April Fool's jokes?
Yeah, got a couple of
minutes. Dwight Howard really playing for the Saints?
Man, the way he's going, he might be close.
Bloody jokes.
Saints looking good this year too. Shout out to Jay Millie.
Yeah. All right. Look good. Thank you again. Two times you, the official compression wear of the New Zealand Warriors. That's your sports rant for long weekend.
The official compression wear of the morning shift, bro.
Oh, yes. The real athletes.
The real athletes. Love you guys.
This is the morning shift.
Making it easy.
Kia ora, TV.
We're back for another episode or edition, whatever, slot, I don't know what it is, of Yeah Nah! Down here in New Zealand, for those who are listening here who aren't from here, when we want to say no, we don't say no, we say yeah nah.
We like to soften the blow.
I don't know why we do that, yes. We're nice people. Soften the blow, but still shank the heart. You know what I mean? Like, just yeah nah, that's not me. You going to that? Yeah. Oh, okay, so just no. So that's basically what we're doing. It's a little segment we do. And today we're doing Kiwi traits. Things we do down here. Should we start? Shoes off at the door. Now, that might be a universal thing, but here it's definitely something to think about.
Mark, you take care of
shoes off at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you, Mark.
And it doesn't matter if they say, no, leave them on. You take them off. You're brought up better than that.
You let those toe jams reek through the house.
What if you look in the house and you see how bad the house is? Like, they haven't cleaned in a while. Hey,
don't do that.
I haven't thought about this the other
angle. But no, but it happens, eh? Your brain goes, nah, this ain't at the door kind of house.
But we take our shoes off.
All right. Because you got to live to your standards, eh, Mark?
You're right. I just had to make sure.
It's funny, after I've said it on the podcast, you should see how many people take their shoes off of mine now.
Oh, 100%. So
they
should.
They look at me too, like, you better tell them if they don't.
So they should. Lunch and tomato sauce sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I think I might be with you.
Yeah, nah.
Excuse me?
Nah. Yeah, go on.
Nah. I think we were kind of like programmed to think that that was like acceptable. As a kid, and I'm
we
can have humble beginnings, but as we become adults and we, you know, work our own jobs, have our own money, and our own choices to spend on things, I'm gonna get the shaved hammage.
Jordan's changed. No, Brooks changed.
You keep those rank slices over there. Give me the shaved ham, please.
I'm with you, Jordan.
Big bunch, please. Big bunch ting.
I'll get a handful of that.
Yeah, not for me, but I know I'm gonna get black for that. And Brooke, make sure you. Thank you. Bare feet in public.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Kiwi staple.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm better with that. So in New Zealand, guys, like, it's not a thing. Oh. If someone, like, is just rocking bare feet at the supermarket anywhere in public, like, no one's really going to, like, judge them. It's kind of, like, accepted.
No, the mall's not, though.
You know why it's accepted?
Mm, yeah.
It's accepted because we live so close to the ocean in most places.
Caught it all, brother.
You could go a whole life cycle. You could go 3 life cycles in America and never, ever see the ocean. But for us, man, we're a good, I don't know, 20-minute drive to a beach, max.
Or the UK.
So we have our bare feet for the
ready
sand.
Ready to go, eh?
Yeah.
Might have to drop a few manus
mm-hmm.
after grabbing some bread and milk. Right.
Get that lunch in as well.
So what are you, Mark? What are you, Brooke?
Can I just be like, yeah?
No. Oh, no.
I'll go, yeah, nah, then.
You're an egg.
Look, I know what you're saying, and 9 times out of 10, I'm with you, but there are the exception.
You're better than bare feet now,
eh, Brooke?
I'm at the
movies, put your toes away.
You're better than luncheon and tomato sauce. You're better than bare feet.
I'm leaning back. I don't want to see those scabby toes just
also
reaching over
Zealand,
the couch.
Some of us have 2 sets of hands. You know,
you
what,
know
I mean?
What I'm saying?
So you're going to let those flex. Pajamas in the supermarket.
Yeah, nah. Wait, hold on. So we can't do this, but we can do that?
Correct. I don't know why.
100% correct. We're not wearing our pajamas to the beach,
Brooke. I'm not going
to
judge. But some of those pajamas, the wrong size.
It's a late night.
They're the wrong size. Some of y'all need to replace the button in the middle. Like, we can't be missing buttons. And there's a lot of missing buttons.
We ain't missing buttons in public.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear you. But see this. It's a late night. You got to rush down.
Okay, take me there. Tell me that story.
It's 9:34 at night. It closes at 10. Ain't no one
You need
be
a fizzy.
There. You need a fizzy. And I might grab some chips while I'm there too. I'm running low on time. The supermarket's 12 minutes, but I got to go because that's an itch that I got to scratch. Tonight.
Sorry. Yeah, nah. No lips. Damn, now, the concept of no lips is like a lot of us at school shared the same drink. So it was kind of like a staple that you don't lip it because that's germy and you allow everyone to. It's actually like really wholesome, but it's expected. No lips. Or do you feel like it's your drink? You should be able to lip it.
No, that's a yeah.
I'm yeah.
That's a
yeah.
I grew up on yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
Sure.
What? You did a big sigh of relief. I was like,
Mark, you give big. That's my drink. F off energy. To
no,
be
no,
honest.
No.
It's my Mountain Dew.
I will lip my own Mountain Dew. But you guys can all be.
See no, but see. That's what I meant. Got a few more here, guys. Chihus for any occasion.
Oh yeah.
Can you give us a chihu, please?
I can.
Mark?
I'm not really a cheer.
Mark, no, it doesn't matter, but you've heard it.
That's a good one.
We love that. Cultural tats, even if you aren't that culture. I'm going to say yeah.
I'm yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Do you know what? An example of a good yeah, and you know him as well, Brooke.
Who that is?
Rob Fisher.
Oh, yeah, I know Rob
Big
Fisher.
Rob, right? Yes. Māori.
Yep.
Fluent. Got his big tamoko down one shoulder.
Right.
And he's got the Japanese fish on
the
other.
Oh, the koi fish.
Yeah, the koi fish. I said, what? And he goes, I just like them.
I've seen a few of our white brothers in the Golima. You know what I mean? And you know what? That makes me feel safer.
Mm.
I see that I'm like, you went to a low decile school. You one of us. You 100% one of us. Like, no one gets that, like, without knowing. So, like, I feel safer with you, Mausa.
Yeah.
I can only speak from my experience, but that's what I thought with that. Yeah, let's do that. Lock that in. Yeah. Kathmandu jackets in summer. Yeah, nah.
Always just. But I definitely used to.
What do your armpits smell like? What do they smell like? Are you smelly? You smelly.
It always confused me because one, it's in the middle of the summer, so you got that on, but you're rocking the stubby shorts.
Mm.
So you confuse at the same time. So you can't be doing both.
Are you ready for winter?
That kind of evens it out.
Mm.
Couple more guys. Canterbury rugby shorts.
Yeah, nah.
For what they provided,
But not now. They've given us what we needed.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm with it. Yeah.
Put them with the Barkers pants, the track pants.
How dare you?
Mark those.
Barkers track pants, yeah.
Hang
Were
those
they
up at
tearaways?
Bro, the thing is, they made them so that they
Did
look...
Did you tear them off
they
before
look
you ran
like
on the basketball court?
When you buy them new, they look 20 years old. So, like, you just never know. And... You know what I mean?
That was the epitome of backs, I made it, Mark. I've moved up in the world. I got me these Barker's
Canterbury grays. Shorts, your Barker's pants, put them in a bin.
Last one, eyebrow wassups.
Yeah.
It's all you ever need.
That is Kiwi Traits, guys, and another episode or segment or slot, whatever you want to call it, of Nah.
Oh, thanks for the gibbets, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you to the lady who gave us the gibbets. Thank you
so much.
Not enough
ease in that.
Yee-hoo!
This is The Morning Shift.
Let's go!
Let's push!
Woo! Brooke!
I don't even know what we're doing. Oh, sorry,
yeah, you're not matching the energy. But we can go with this energy if you want to go up there.
Mark,
let's
don't do
go.
That. You take me places and I don't know if I want to come.
Wait. This one came off. Actually, we're doing classic New Zealand things. This is the one, the only Dave Dobbin, for those who have never heard of him.
Oh, sing it, Dave.
Oh, no, I'm not Dave.
Not that
bit.
Yeah, no, sorry. Not yet. Song called Welcome Home. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I want to just help some shifters out. Someone put this on the shifters page, and I'm going to come to you guys for some advice. You may have some, you may not. Also, if you're in this boat and you are the person, I would like you to realize that, hey, you are this person. Sort it out. Stop being an egg.
Can I just say, before we get into that, that's beautiful. Can we fade this up just a little bit? Beautiful work, Brooke.
I got you, my man.
This song, apparently, when a Kiwi has been away, or one of us has been overseas, this song, landing in Aotearoa for the first time in years,
makes him cry.
Apparently breaks like everybody. No matter how hard you are, you can't beat Dave Dobbin and Welcome Home. Anyway, as you were saying,
what if you're a gangster and you wear a patch and pop?
Oh, you're crying.
Okay. Damn.
Listen to Dave.
Can't wear my badge anymore.
Yeah, give that back. Hand that back.
Sorry, anyway.
Read those. Okay, yeah, so this came through from a shifter on the shifters page. I'm going to read it out, see what you have to say. It says, kia ora te whanau. Some advice, or maybe add your own story. So hubby and I and our baby, baby's very important in this, recently moved into an apartment, also one of our boys, to help with rent. That's in brackets. Anyway, we didn't know that he had a girlfriend.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
She didn't know either.
Jordan.
Which was why we're...
Hey, it could be true.
It could be true. Which is why we're moving in together. Huh? Anyways, this girlfriend won't leave the bloody house. She's really nice.
Annoying.
But suddenly she popped up and she stays when our mate goes to work.
Oh,
here's where it gets a little bit tricky, people. She works from home a lot. Not her home, our home. She's turning on the aircon. She's having long air showers. She's stocking up the freezer and not leaving us any space. And boy, am I getting hoha. All without shipping in on anything. Now, I get it. I'm all about being generous. But in this day and age, we're rocking one wage. I'm trying to budget. I have a kid. We're here for a reason. What do I do?
This is so simple. But before we get to the simple answer, like, it's so funny. Yeah, when you get a, like, flatmate ick, nothing they do. Literally nothing makes you happy. They could be vacuuming. You're like, what the hell are they vacuuming for now? It's bloody like
it this time?
5 p.m. We're about to like do stuff. Like, I need a quiet house. Shut up. They've been cleaning the windows, like little squeak. Like, stop squeaking.
We don't even need that. We got other jobs that need to be done. No one squeaks when they clean the windows.
They do a dishwasher. You didn't stack it properly, you idiot. Like, there's nothing you can do, eh? It's like overs.
And it's just it's a snowball effect. So we want to help the sis out. Oh, I'm assuming it's the sis. Sorry, yes, the sis. We're going to help the sis out with some advice. Boys, in that situation, there's a couple of things that Shifter said as well. What are we doing? And also, sorry, before you give out advice, I also think this is actually maybe even more for people who are like, oh my God, that's me.
I don't think
and
people
didn't know.
I don't think that that's going to be the case, bro. I think people that don't understand that this is them just will not understand that it's them.
Well, we need you to understand that, hey, maybe it might
like
be you.
The bro, honestly, the... My inner voice for him is, what's the problem?
Oh, it's just me.
Takarishi. Well, the status has been written in a way that's like, what do I do about this girl? But the issue is with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really what, and that's when we're scared to have that conversation, we dance around everything. Stop doing the dance, all right? Cha-cha, 1-2 step. You know what I mean? Stop doing the dougie. Stop hitting the yeet and sit your friend down and say, look, what I've heard this explained in some counseling sessions is sometimes people have a pretend agreement. It's agreement that they thought was communicated and that they thought would be the case. But
really, when it comes down to it, there's different expectations, and that agreement actually wasn't agreed upon. So that's what it sounds like is going on here. And I think it's just sitting the friend down saying, look, our understanding of coming, you know, to this whare was that this was going to be the case. And just talking through that, because it sounds like they're in the right to say we didn't know. But maybe they're in the wrong. Maybe, like, they did know.
And maybe I play devil's advocate, and I'm only playing devil's advocate here for 2 seconds. Maybe she, the person who's coming to stay at the house, not paying anything, is fast tracking where she.
Actually, I shouldn't have said that, because they wrote that they didn't know that they had the girlfriend. So I'm sorry, that's actually wrong from me. But it's just hard to have those conversations,
it's
right?
A hard conversation.
And you've just got to go run it straight.
OG, talk to us.
Like,
man,
when Roger bumped off that dude after that second left step, and he just bumped off. That's the conversation. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like.
You know, one famous person once said, "Home is where the heart is."
Oh, come on, caught it all.
And another one also said, if I didn't get the joy of making you, then I'm damn sure not carrying you through life.
Oh, okay.
Who said that?
Okay.
Who said that?
Caught it all.
Now, you go to work, and you've said you've already got a child to support. You don't need other children to support, you know what I mean, that you didn't get the joy of making. So this needs to be a conversation. I agree with you, Jordan. You got to stop doing the dance, and you got to go to the mate and just say, hey, this isn't working, and this is why. I'm seeing all our resources being drained by your said friend, and that needs to stop. She either chips in or you chip out.
Hang on a second. So the person, the couple with the kid moved into,
not knowing that their friend had a
partner. Okay, well, this is where it gets a little bit spicy. Because technically, and it's fine, we all have situations where we're in need. We're in a situation where we need something to happen.
In today's day and age.
What if the friend just feel like that he couldn't say no because they've got a whānau and they're trying to save? So you've also got to, like, maybe there's some of that there.
So,
like,
he's trying his best.
I got, like, I don't know if I can tell you I got something going on. I do like having missus because, like, you're hit. Like, I obviously want you guys to be okay, and it'd be cool if you guys lived here. But that's actually his space.
So he's welcomed them in. What have you done here?
We went from mild to extra hot. I don't know.
I'm so lost. I'm listening to Dave Dobbins.
There's so much advice on the page as well, but the main piece of advice, and sometimes we just need a slogan, is she no pay, she no stay.
I like that.
But it's his girlfriend.
I thought that, but then I was like, well, how is it really your girlfriend? Because if they're your friend and they're moving in, they would know about your girlfriend.
See, this is why I pay rent.
Just pay rent. It's easier.
Just pay.
Sis, I don't know if that helped at all.
I pay. Sis, you pay too. How about that? Wrap
but
it
if
up.
She no pay, she no stay.
Hey, guys, killed that.
Hey, coming up next on the show, Jordan, you want to do the honors?
Guys, we have someone so special on the show. He is about to be, like, an
global
F1 driver. He's it, like, and you would have, you might not care about F1 driving, but you will heard of Lewis Hamilton.
Yes, we have.
He's like on that level.
He in the ballpark.
And we had a great chat with him. I can't wait to play this out, but also it's a flex because he's on the show.
He knows who we are.
Shout out to Liam Lawson. You're going to enjoy this chat. Brum, brum, brum.
This is the morning shift.
Rev your engine, shifters. Hey, this is a big deal. I am 100% certain that this man isn't just going to be a household name around New Zealand, around the world in a very, very short amount of time. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome into the show Liam Lawson. Thank you. I know you're not doing much, bro, so thank you so much.
Let us clip you,
thank
bro.
You for having me.
It's epic. But you got an incredible story, and the fact that you're only 22 and recently 22 absolutely blows my mind. But for anybody who doesn't, and we're big fans right here, and we love what you're doing, but for anybody who doesn't know about Liam Lawson, about what you do, can you just give us a little a rundown on who you are and what you do?
So I basically am it's called a reserve driver. So in Formula One, I basically am Red Bull Racing's reserve driver. So
which is incredible.
I've been racing since I was a kid, like go-karts from the age of 6, and then racing internationally, trying to achieve Formula One. And then basically I'm in a position now where I'm not racing in my own championship. I'm just basically effectively on the bench alongside the team, which in a way it's horrible. It's really frustrating, but obviously it's a good opportunity.
100%.
We're going to get into that a little bit more because I got some questions about all of that. But can we go back to kind of where you started? And you started at such a young age. Like, you must have just got your driver's license, but now you're already traveling around the world. But go back to where you started and how you got into to being where you are now.
Something that I think I was probably born with more than anything, like the passion for racing and cars and stuff like that.
Was it a family thing? Like,
no, that's what's weird is that most people get sort of like it's from their family, their dad race or something that. Yeah. Go-karting nowadays is a very dad sport. Mostly dads are, you know, pushing their kids a lot. But my family was never like that. My dad never pushed me to do it. It always came from if I wanted to do it. Yeah, and then
wait. That's expensive, though.
I was like, just thinking that.
You know, when you say to your kid, "Hey, give it a go. Have a jam on that," and then it's like, "Oh, you're real good at it." Then, like, he must have been like, "What's your old man into? Like, what is his his thing?"
Music. So real? That's where, and that's why I play music as well. Is from my dad. So, genuinely the reason is it was go karts was in preschool. So when I was like three, my best friend. At 3 years old, our like family friends, he got into racing. So his dad raced. He's now a supercars driver. His name's Matthew Payne. Wow. So he's a supercars driver now. And we basically grew up racing each other. So he got into go-karts. I went and watched. I got into go-karts.
That's it.
And then we raced each other. And we've kind of gone like separate ways on like pro careers. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
100%. I watched an interview with your dad, and he kind of said like you were always headstrong from a young kid. Like, this is what you've wanted to do, and obviously, he also said, you know, Kiwis have probably been wanting to see a Kiwi back in the Formula One circuit, you know, soon. But it's kind of bigger than that, though. Like, the people that have supported you, the stuff that I've watched. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not fully immersed in what you do, but I'm very aware when I watched at like. I just couldn't even imagine the world that you're in, like the scale, like I'd be so scared. But what he said was that it's also about kind of the people that have supported you kind of to get to where you are now. And that was like a big theme. And I thought, what a humble man. And you seem like you got great parents. What does it feel like now to kind of be in this moment in your career, starting from a kid with the go-karts at three and just kind of like being able to prove to that you can do it. You're right. Well,
that's the thing. We haven't quite done it yet. Yeah, so I think
I know you can't say that. I'll say it for
it's,
you. Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming. It's something that it's obviously getting the drive last year was a big achievement. And it was big for me, for my family, but as you said, everybody else who was supported because obviously it's crazy expensive. Even go karting is crazy expensive. Yeah. And to be honest, I completely broke my parents through go kart racing. So I'm extremely lucky that you know I have. A supportive family like I do. Also my siblings sacrificed a lot, so and then when it gets international and it becomes racing in different championships around the world, we needed backing from sponsors, you know, companies, individuals, and all of, you know, our whole group that we have now, which is a really big amazing group of people that all just really passionate motorsport guys who want to see a New Zealand driver in Formula One. So that's really, really cool, and that's why it's not really just my journey. It's also a lot of people's 100%. Journey around me as well.
Well, I promise you, we are with you all the way.
Bro. Liam, just really quickly, you said just then you haven't quite got there yet, but can you give for the casual fans and the people who know what your name is but haven't quite, you know, got their heads around just how massive Formula One is, can you give us some perspective in not quite getting there yet but where you're at right now? So how many drivers do they have in Formula One teams?
20. So there's 20 drivers on the grid.
And Formula One is by far the fastest way cars that are driving around on the roads, right? So you can't get any higher than Formula One.
No, it's the pinnacle.
So how many bench seats are there?
20.
So when you say you haven't quite got there,
you there.
Like, just from the people who are listening right now, there are F all people who get to be in your position in F1. So the hard work that you've put in now, well, I don't want to just like, you know, I know there's still big goals, but for you, man, like you should know, and especially coming from us, that you are achieving much more than we could possibly imagine. So well done to that.
I appreciate that. I think it's, it's something that I think that's what really almost keeps me, I guess, going in a way is I'm a terrible spectator. Like I have been my whole life. So, and it's probably the reason I got into go-karts is because the first time I went and watched Matthew race a go-kart, I went and watched and I hated watching and I wanted to be doing it. So, Yeah, I think that's why. And but knowing that it's a crazy opportunity I have is probably, even though I'm reserved and I'm not driving, it's probably what also keeps me going.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you did talk about getting a taste last year and absolutely killed it. And I'm not going to put you on the spot here because there's articles that are going around at the moment saying you're potentially going to be driving May 6th in Miami.
Okay, this is all rumors.
Rumors that there's a rumor mill. I'm not going to ask you about that. But what I will say is, how does it feel to know that you're so close? Like, there is no denying you raced last year. That was incredible. May 6th is right around the corner. Who knows if you're going to be racing there? But you are so close. Like, how does that feel?
It's mixed. It's really, really
cool. Is it annoying?
But at the same time, it's annoying. You know, it's really cool, but it's really frustrating because just because I drove, like, when you're striving towards a goal. For me, it was Formula One. On the journey there, you always imagine what it's like. And you always have to have, every elite sports person has to have self-confidence and belief that they can do something. So I've never had a lack of that, but realistically, you never know what it's actually like until you do it, until you're actually in the car, until you're driving. It's imagining what it's like. So it's been like that for so many years, and I've been very close for so many years that I always told myself I was good enough, but you never really know until you drive.
Yeah.
But now I have a different perspective because I did drive, so I know what it's like. So I'm sitting there watching, but I don't have to imagine what it's like, what these guys are doing. I've done it. Yeah, I've done everything they're doing. I've been there.
How did you feel you went to? Because if you compare it to other people, it's like Steven Adams playing in the NBA against LeBron James. It's Israel Adesanya fighting the best people in the world. 100%. You raced against Lewis Hamilton. You raced against Max Verstappen. Like, that is incredible, right?
It's crazy.
It's actually mind-blowing
for us.
But how do you feel like you went? Like, looking back on it, hindsight now, the nerves, how was that whole week or those five races?
I think it was good, but obviously there's always things you can do differently, and you never have a perfect lap, you never have a perfect race. There's always things you can do better. So looking back on it, I think the goal when I got the opportunity was to, because I didn't know how many races I was going to do. It was really weekend by weekend. I thought... The information I had at the time was you're going to do this weekend and we don't know about the next one.
Yeah.
So I had to treat every single race like it was the last opportunity I was going to get. So I remember basically just focusing on trying to maximize everything, every single session, every lap that I did in qualifying or in a race. It was basically trying to showcase, you know, me for a future seat. And there's things I would have probably done differently looking back, but overall I was reasonably happy with it.
This is a bit of a selfish question, but like, I just want to get into, like, you seem someone, and this is so kind of un-Kiwi to ask another Kiwi, but like, you seem like someone that, like, you expect to beat Lewis Hamilton, like, you expect to beat these guys, and that's not actually being cocky, but that's like a different mentality. And like, what is that like going and seeing these guys that you've probably super respect, but you're in there and you're like, oh, I think I can win.
Well, these guys were my heroes. So when I was a kid, they were the guys that I looked up to. But truthfully, they're not my heroes anymore. These are guys I want to be basically racing, exactly that competition. And I think it's why Formula One was always what I wanted to do, is because, you know, obviously the cars, I love the cars, are the fastest cars, are the coolest, but they're also, it's the pinnacle, it's the best, and I want to be the best at whatever I'm doing. And that's why I think I was, from a young age, I wanted to do Formula One.
Bro, that's so inspirational just hearing that as well. And maybe we go down the selfish line of questions right here, because I got a whole bunch too.
I got another selfish one too.
Bro, what's life like? I watch Drive to Survive. You guys are moving, man. You're here, there, and everywhere. Like, break down, let's just say, the last 2 weeks of your life. What has that been like?
Actually, pretty good. Like, relaxed more than anything, because we had Melbourne. So it's a very busy calendar in general. Obviously, this year we have 24 races on the calendar, which is a lot. We start February, end of February, and end in December.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of the longest seasons. I think it's the longest season actually ever. So a lot of traveling, a lot of flights, and it's all over the place as well. So it's been nice because we had Melbourne last week. I have Japan next. So I get to spend this week in New Zealand.
Do you travel? I'm sorry, just quickly, in the flights, when you traveling, are you traveling in like normal people class, or do you guys have your own jets? Like, what's the story?
some of them have jets. I don't have a jet.
So what are you doing? Oh, are you jumping in with the general public, or do you get to go into the lounges and stuff? Like, what's the flashiest lounge you've been
in? When you walk onto the plane, do you turn left or right?
I turn left.
We say we're the people's podcast, bro. We've got to ask the people's questions.
Well, no, but you would be surprised. Like the first, I only just started turning left in the last sort of like 12 months.
That's good. So that's good.
Before that, I was turning right. And watching a lot of other guys turn left and, you know, say,
best lounge so. Then. You know how we got the Koru lounge, you know, where people get to sit in those. Where's the best one you've been to? It doesn't have to be Koru. It could be like Emirates. Like what, who's got the flashiest lounge?
Emirates have pretty good lounges. Yeah. Emirates in Dubai is really good. Actually, Monaco doesn't have an airport, so.
Oh.
See? Selfish question. You don't actually have to answer this, but what was like a, wow, I've made it, like kind of moment? Like it might have been a purchase or like something that you went to and you're like, man, this driving thing's all right. We're going to be all right, family. Don't worry, I got it. Don't even worry about it.
I honestly can't say that I've had that. I can't say I've had that feeling yet. I haven't had that. This guy's
going places.
And I'm not just saying that. It's something that even racing in Formula One. It's even being there full time. That'll be if I can achieve that, that'll be a level of achievement. But it's not the full, obviously not the full dream either. Not the full goal.
Just quick, when I was looking into this interview, I was watching some stuff, and I genuinely have never been. I was like genuinely shocked, and when I watched some of the training you guys do, and I was just interested. I've seen like the neck training, yeah. The reflex training. Is that stuff you do? Like, is that for real? Like, I was so shocked. I thought almost it was like a parody video. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah, it's
like, what is your training like? Is it actually like that?
Yeah, it's quite unique, just because it's very specific, sort of the I guess forces and stuff that we deal with when we're driving. So it's a lot of neck training. We pull a lot of G.
Yes.
So we basically in some high speed, because the cars have an unbelievable amount of downforce. So it's basically like driving. It's like going really, really fast. What's the fastest you've been?
Like I've been on the autobahn once.
No. You've been okay. So then it's like been on the autobahn, going flat out in whatever you're in, and then just turning like really hard. But and the car's just on rails, and obviously your body just wants to go in the other direction. So it's an unbelievable amount of grip, and that's why you pull so much G-force. So for your neck, like it's not like the neck's quite unique in the way that if you're in the gym and you're working out and you're doing like a bicep curl or something like that, and it starts to get quite hard, you can kind of push through a couple more reps, and then
Yes.
You can't really do that with your neck. Once your True. Neck's gone, it, honestly, your head is like a bobblehead, and you just, it just gets tossed around in the car, and you can't. You
Has
can't
that ever happened? Have you ever had a neck spasm or something?
I've not been able to hold it up, and you try with everything you have. It's
are you just
horrible.
like a bobblehead? Like
yeah, and it's just and then you're just stuck there. So, and it's really, really important, because once you do that, basically you can't. You lose so much feeling of the car, and you can't drive properly. So, yeah.
Speaking of losing, but how much weight do you lose in a race?
If it's hot. Like Singapore last year, I lost, I think, 2.5 to 3. I think I lost 3 kilos actually in Singapore.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's how we're guys.
Shifters, this is stuff we don't know about this sport that we need to know and appreciate.
We got to drive more.
Are you ever like, I really need a water break?
Well, not if it's hot, no, because you sweat so much that it just all goes out in sweat. If it's a cold race, that's when it's not ideal. Like if it's a raining session and it's a little bit colder and you're not quite, you know, having the same physical demands, because in the wet you don't pull as much G and stuff like that. So then
I'm gonna start using that issues. Pull as much G. I'm gonna start saying that. I don't really know where I'm supposed to use it, but I'm gonna start saying it. But have you heard they call it a welcome to the league moment? I don't know if you've heard about this, but I see it with the NBA guys. They talk about LeBron James, the first time they played him, or Kevin Durant. But something will happen and they'll see the greatness in that person. Have you had a welcome to the league moment?
It's kind of like a rookie will have a welcome to the league moment with a vet or something like
from
that.
From like the other drivers or something.
Yeah, whether it's they overtook you in a corner and you're like, okay, my God, I didn't even see that coming. Or
yeah, I've had that moment, and it was the worst feeling in the world, honestly. It was my very first session. And so driving in anything, in any race car that you drive, especially Formula One, it takes so much confidence because you're going so fast, because you're committing to these corners with like ridiculous speed. And trusting the downforce and trusting the car that you're driving, it's about confidence. And the guy who probably has the most confidence on the grid is Max right now. His level of confidence within the car, it's why he's able to produce such good laps so consistently, because he's just so comfortable with what he's with what he's got. And my very first session in Zandvoort last year, it was wet. And I remember going out and trying to build up the confidence and, you know, because it just takes time. There's nothing you can do to prepare for it. It just takes time in the car. And I was like, oh, I'm getting there. And towards the end of the session, I started to feel pretty comfortable. And I was like, you know, I can actually, this is all good. And in Formula One, you're not just in practice, you're not just driving flat out the whole time. You do push laps and you do cool laps. So when you're pushing, you're obviously driving at 100%, and then the tires get hard and you need to cool off for a lap and reset. And Max was coming behind me on a push lap, and I remember getting out of his way, and basically he went past me, and I watched him come out of the like last corner at Zandvoort and just perfectly like control drift this car across the exit curb. And I was just like, I can't do that. It was the worst. Like, I just remember being this the worst feeling in the world. And then the session was done. We were straight into qualifying, and honestly, it was horrible. Watching that was just like, oh my God. You know, like, I'm nowhere near it.
That's insane. Well, can I ask one more selfish question from me? I'm going to put you in a scenario, and it's a very everyday scenario that we can, that we could relate to. It's got nothing to do with cars. I'm going to say, you have just come across a double pass to Fred again, and you've got the choice to either take your partner Hannah or your mate Caleb. Who are you choosing, Liam?
What you doing?
Who are you choosing? Do we take our best friend or partner?
We did hit it.
Yeah, oh my God. He's a massive Fred again fan. Yeah, I took my friend.
Yeah, the boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
His beautiful partner's just sitting to the left,
watching
off screen.
All of this.
That's a G. No. That was a personal question for me. I just want to know. Yeah,
thanks
for
turning me under like that, man.
Hey, Liam. Honestly, thank you. We know your schedule's crazy, and that you're not really even doing this while you're back home in this short amount of time. So thank you so much for stopping by. The journey has been amazing so far, and we cannot wait to see how far you take this bad boy, and we're going to be backing you 100% the whole way. Inspiring story, bro. So thank you for coming through.
100%. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is The Morning Shift.
Told you he's the man.
He's our mate.
He's
our mate. Man. He's our mate too. He's your mate too now.
He's one of us.
Exactly.
He's going to be driving
he's
Miami.
A shifter.
Yes.
Every time he shifts gears, he's going to be like, that's for The Morning Shift.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's out, mate.
Guys, I hope you missed that. If you didn't, sorry about that, but we're back.
Short weekend's a short week. See you guys tomorrow. Check on your people. Love you.
This is The Shift. The Shift.
Go home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go home.
The Morning Shift.
I'm going to make him an offer he came with you.
The Shift.
I love you.
This is The Shift.
Got it.
Okay.
I'm like the burger.
Unbelievable. Let's get it, get it. It's no secret the weather's getting a lot colder, which means, here come the colds. If you'd like to check out what chemistwarehouse.co.nz has to offer online, you can save right now on many other vitamins or vitamins, depending on what part of the world you're listening. Chemistwarehouse.co.nz, proud sponsors of The Morning Shift.